You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Ooh, yeah. Hey.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful winter morning for the KSL Greenhouse. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can text us at 57500. Best reason to get up this early in the morning, Ton?
Listen to us.
Okay, that's the second best reason. Oh. The sunrise this morning. Getting off at 6 North, looking at the Capitol building with the beautiful pink and just the reflection off of the clouds in the Capitol building. It took my breath away. I wanted to stop right on the off-ramp, and I thought, no, that's not a good idea.
No, it was a beautiful sunrise this morning. I was noticing out the window when I usually try to get here a bit early in case there's traffic because I come from so far away. I want to give myself a buffer. And so I get in here and it's still dark, but within 10 to 15 minutes this time of year, you see the sunrise and it was gorgeous, right? You could watch it coming over Temple Square and just right over the mountains there. It was just a beautiful sunrise.
What a beautiful day. Anyway, and it's super cold outside, but we're still going to be talk about all the wonderful things that you can plant in your garden. This morning, the plant of the week is witch hazel, which is the craziest looking plant. If you're looking for something unique, I have a hard time just describing witch hazel. Go ahead.
Well,
give it a
shot. Program director, I've known about the plants, but our program director likes to grow unique things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that he said, why don't you do a plant of the week about this? And it's been a few years ago. And so I've tried to cover it every once in a while, but it is a... When I say family, it's a group of plants, and they're species native to Asia and North America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's claimed fame. There's a few of them, but one of them is that either, depending on the species, blooms in October and November when everything else is shutting down, or it starts blooming in late February to mid-March, depending on the weather, through April.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is the first plant to bloom in the spring, as far as, you know, even before forsythia, and it just has a really interesting look.
How do you describe it, though?
Well, it looks almost like, I don't want to say spider, because I don't want to turn people off, but it's a yellow flower, and it does have long, long petals
kind
that
of
kind
spindly.
Of droop down. And it's one of those that, is it going to win a beauty contest compared to forsythia or some of our early spring blooming plants? No, but I still kind of like the look. It's really
talker,
unique.
Though,
it
sure.
is. It is. And so there's the ornamental qualities to it, but then the witch hazels have also been used as a medicinal, as a topical ointment. You can buy witch hazel ointments and stores and things, and there's very limited evidence that they actually do much.
The
Native Americans use them, and so there maybe we haven't researched it enough, but for minor skin rashes, for hemorrhoids, there's a number of different things that they were used for.
Looks as fever.
Or are.
But Native Americans use it as tea, too.
Yes, and I was reading about it, and it's not recommended you ingest it, because if you do and get too much, you can make yourself sick.
Okay.
And so you do need to be careful with ingesting
it.
But yeah, it's been used as an ointment for a long time. I've had friends who are more into just natural and holistic remedies. And instead of using something like Desitin on their babies, they would use witch hazel cream or ointment to help relieve rashes and things. So I don't know if it works or not. There's people that use it. But it's just one of those plants that just has a really interesting history and a really interesting look.
This article that we're putting up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page says that they use the forked stems of the plant as divining rods
yes.
to search for underground water. What?
Yeah, just a really wild uses in history. And so it's one that's not commonly grown in Utah. There are some around, and they seem to do okay. It's one of those that if you live out toward Utah Lake or the Great Salt Lake, it may struggle. It's going to want a soil that, not necessarily sandy, but better drained. So a loamy soil, you may want to incorporate some organic matter into the soil just to mimic where it normally grows. Mm-hmm. But they're just really interesting plants.
If you have a unique garden or a unique yard and you have a little space, this one, how big does this get? I'm saying
anywhere from 3 or 6 feet on up to 15.
Not little space. Okay.
They can be pruned using renewal pruning to keep their size down. But it's something that if you want one, you park it somewhere in the yard and just where you can see it. And, you know, it will do its thing through the late winter to early spring, and then it's just a shrub, but it's a conversation piece.
Would it be safe for me to say guys like this more than gals?
I don't know.
Because whenever we talk about it, there are people in the horticulture community that really like it, but it seems to be whenever we talk about it, it's men. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one that I believe JD has one at the Varga Arboretum in Kaysville.
Right.
I think Red Butte has some, but it's not very common. And it's the only person that's actually ever asked about it is the program director, Kevin. But it's just one I know has been out there.
Okay, how does it do as far as water?
It will need an average amount of water, so it'll need to be deeply watered to a depth of a foot to 18 inches. Once established, about every week to 10 days. If it has mulch over the top, then about every 10 days will do.
Is there a reason that it's not planted normally? Is it like not cold hardy or something?
No, it's perfectly hardy. It's just more, it has a really interesting
more
look.
Unknown.
I think it's a little more expensive at garden centers compared to other shrubs, but
everything unique is.
Yeah, it's one of those plants that people grow because they're a horticulturist or a hobbyist and they know about it and you add it to your collection.
All right. We're talking about witch hazel. That is the plant of the week, and you can find an article on it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We're going to take a break, come back with your calls and your text questions. The phone lines are open, 801-575-8255 or text us 57500.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. You can call us at 801-575-8255 or text us your questions at 575-0-0.
Yeah, 575-00. Mornings are hard. Words are hard.
We were talking about Witch Hazel, and since our callers are kind of quiet this morning, we want to talk about Winter Hazel. What is winter hazel?
Winter hazel is another genus of plants in the same family as witch hazel. So they're fairly closely related, but it is another early, late winter to early spring flowering shrub that the flowers look a little bit more like you were saying, bellflower.
Yeah,
or
of like a hanging bellflower,
yes.
Or a delphinium.
And they have a kind of a yellowy green tint to them. It's not a bad color at all. But
except
more
that you
yellow
don't like
than green.
It.
I don't know. I just like the.
I like it better than witch hazel.
In your face flower of witch hazel. But they're another genus, and they prefer acidic soil and dappled shade. And so if they were grown along the Wasatch Front, I think the benches, anywhere from like the Willard Bench on down into Payson, would be fine. But they like a really organic matter rich soil. And if you supplemented the soil, they sometimes do okay. But if you are west of I-15, then I don't know that I would use them in those kinds of yards unless you're in a pocket of soil that is sandy or somehow a granite based soil or something. Mm-hmm.
These are all fun to talk about, though, because if you're planning your landscape for the season, or you have a new yard, or you have a spot, you know, have a hole somewhere that you've been meaning to fill with something unique, they're fun to talk about. How readily available are, like, winter
hazel?
I've never
heard of them ordered by garden centers, and now is the time to contact them because they'll be shipping plants soon. And so some garden centers are happy to throw some plants on a semi and do special orders for you to get them into your yard. Some of the bigger garden centers will carry them Progressive. I'm not sure if they do, but Cameron carries a very unique mix. And so Progressive, if they don't have them, can probably get them. But any, you know, J&J, Linden Nursery, Cook's, Western Gardens, you can find them, especially in early spring, if you look around.
So it sounds like an important topic right now, because if you want to order something special for your yard and you want a nursery to order it in, this is a pretty good time to tell them about it.
Yes, very soon, because through February and March, nurseries are very busy landing plants, getting ready for the spring, you know, setting the nursery up. So by late March and into April, they are actually ready to go for retail. Mm-hmm. But it's not too commonly known. A lot of times, if you will wander the nurseries every week or 10 days and see what they've set out, if you want the rarest, most unique plants that the nursery may only have one of or under 10, March and April is the time to get them, because you may not be able to until the next year. And so if you're looking for winter hazels, witch hazels, some of the rare magnolias, some of the viburnums that you may not find, you know, there's just the really unique plants, the dwarfed evergreens like the pines and things. You have to get them in March and April.
Good thing to think about. We have a few weeks, and it's good to always do some research to make sure that these more unique items will actually work in your yard.
Yes, and winter hazel, witch hazel, these are two plants that I like them just because they're so unique. But it's for those people who are hobbyists that want to bring people out to their garden and say, look at this weirdness, you know. And
winter hazel is much prettier. That's my opinion.
It's all good.
All right. Sherry is waiting very patiently on the line in Vineyard. Good morning, Sherry. What was your question this morning?
Well, good morning, Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, is now a good time to plant seeds, start seeds, like maybe onion seeds or tomato seeds, or what kind of seeds would be a good thing to start now? Because I know they're pretty slow growing.
Well, it's totally dependent on the actual species. And so onions actually should have been started 2 weeks ago. So you need to get those going if you're planting them from seed. But then tomatoes, you actually don't start until the last week of March or the first week of April. Peppers are in mid-March. And so you can download fact sheets on when to start things. And what it will tell you is to start them so many days or weeks before your average last frost. And so for the Wasatch Front, depending on the area, it's anywhere from early to mid-May. And so I like to use May 15th as my benchmark, and then I'll count back so many weeks to know when to start those plants.
So am I too late for onions?
No, you're not, but get them started.
Okay.
So, yeah, and so if you will go in and just do an internet search of when to start vegetables indoors and extension, because the extension services have a lot of these fact sheets, it will bring up several different fact sheets for both vegetables and flowers, and almost all of them don't give you an exact date. They just tell you how many weeks before an average last frost so that more people can use it, and it will tell you the week to start them.
So you're suggesting our last frost is in middle of May?
Yeah, early to mid-May. The bench area is oftentimes early May, lower down in the valleys, mid-May.
And I'm sorry to bother you, keep you here, because I know you've got a lot of great information, but my raspberries just are not doing well. I haven't thinned them or pulled up the suckers, and I'm wondering if that's keeping them from growing tall and producing.
How long have they been in the ground?
About 3 years.
Okay, and did you get them from a neighbor or purchase them retail?
Yes, I got them from a neighbor.
And how old were they when you got them from the neighbor?
Well, they were her suckers, and I planted them, so they were, you know, young.
Well, unfortunately, even though they were new suckers, if those other raspberries had been in for 10 or 15 years, they slowly accumulate diseases, and a lot of times it's not visible. But their yield will, after 10 or 15 years, will start to decline annually. And so when you take those root suckers off of the raspberries, in essence, you've planted 15-year-old plants. And so the longevity of them is just not there. And so the only thing I could really suggest trying, well, let me ask this. Are they everbearing where you get crops in the summer and fall, or just summer?
Yeah, they're everbearing.
Okay.
And at her home, when I would go over there and pick those, they were absolutely beautiful and large.
Yeah. So try mowing them to the ground, 3 inches above the ground. Just cut every cane 3 inches. And let them, just give them a fresh start. And what will happen is you'll lose your summer crop, but you'll get a fairly heavy fall crop if they're healthy. And so do you have them in an area where they're getting full sun?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And how often are you watering them?
At 1 year I watered them quite often, two, three times a week. And then I thought maybe I was watering them too much, so I stopped once or twice a week.
In vineyard, you've kind of got a clay loam, and it all depends on if you're east or west of Geneva Road. But
west.
The farther west of Geneva, the heavier the clay. And so when you grow raspberries in that area, they oftentimes want to be on a raised bed to increase the drainage.
They are.
And then you want to maybe run drip hose underneath or, you know, right on the surface so that you can water and not get a lot of water on the foliage. If not, you can still water them fine. But I would water them every 4 or 5 days to a depth of about 6 inches to maybe a foot.
Mm. Okay. And last, where is a good place to plant trees? I've just recently gotten, in the last 2 years, gotten neighbors who lived out on a piece of farm ground where they had cattle and things, but has since sold and homes have been built up, which is fairly typical out here. And now I've got big fences and shade, and I don't know where the best place to plant, you know, fruit trees.
Well, we're coming up on a break, but each fruit tree, if they're semi-dwarf, we're going to need a 15 by 15 to a 15 by 20 foot space to give them proper room. So you can get them away from the fence accordingly. But you don't want standing water. The fruit trees do okay out there. And you're going to have your best selection of fruit trees between mid-March and mid-May from the local garden center. So... okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We
appreciate
time.
Your call.
All right, Sherry. Thanks for your call this morning. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. We will take a break, come back following the news.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We're taking your calls and the phone lines are open. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We do have a couple of texters this morning, Ton. The first one would like to know, can you prune tomato plants while they're growing? I think the better question is, how do you prune them while they're growing?
It depends on what your goals are. If they are indeterminate tomatoes, you can prune them. And I'm not even going to try to explain it over the air because there's lots of YouTube videos on how to do it. Sheridan's going to come in a couple of weeks and we can talk to her maybe a little more. But the indeterminate tomatoes, so those are the ones that produce kind of smaller amounts, but produce for a long period of time. So they can benefit from pruning to keep their size back a little bit. And a lot of times people will train them up a pole or on a string. And as they grow up, they just keep fastening the leader to the string and cutting back a lot of side branches. And so you can prune them through the season, even in the garden centers. As the tomatoes, when they get about 4 inches tall, it's pretty common to just give them a light haircut to cause them to bush out instead of growing straight up. And so tomatoes will tolerate pruning, you know, tip pruning or pinching, you know, throughout the season.
I have to say, I don't usually prune the tomatoes unless they're encroaching on something else.
Yeah, I just leave them alone. I'm a pretty hands-off gardener and don't go to a lot of effort. And a lot of the tomatoes I grow are actually determinate. So they will give you a big crop and about 70% of your yield comes in a 2 or 3 week period, and then they will still yield, but they slow down a lot. And so these are tomatoes like Celebrity or Celebrity Plus that max out at about 3 feet high and wide, to where an indeterminate can easily get 6 feet high, 3 or 4 feet wide, and just a much bigger plant.
Okay, good to know. Next listener wants to know, they say they have the thyme ground cover and it's turning black with all the snow. Do they normally bounce back or will they have to replant this?
They can. Thyme is really susceptible to wet soil in the winter, especially in a clay. And so if you're planting thyme and you have a clay or a clay loam, you plant it where you have a slope so that the water drains away. And so if you have standing water or just really moist soil, thyme is horrendously susceptible to a fungal disease called Rhizoctenia, and then there's a few others. And so if some of it survives, it may come back, but it may be a continual problem.
Yeah, does thyme have a shorter lifespan?
It depends on the growing situation. If you have a really sharply drained soil, you know, sandy, gravelly soil, thyme will last for years and years. But if you're in a clay or a clay loam and you don't have that drainage, it isn't as long-lived.
You're doing a little bit of research on rosemary this week, and
yes,
you found some fun stuff to talk about.
Well, the tip of the week is rosemary. We've covered it several times, and I want to cover it as a plant of the week in a few weeks. But, you know, many of the plants that we use, especially those that are native to Asia, North Africa, Europe, have a long history. And rosemary is one that has been, I think they've logged its use or found evidence of its use 3,000 or 4,000 years back. And the Romans spread it across Europe, but anywhere that it would grow, they spread it and they used it medicinally to calm the nerves and for other uses. But in Christian traditions, rosemary symbolizes fidelity and remembrance. And so during funerals or weddings, it's often placed somewhere prominently to symbolize those attributes.
I was telling you, I planted a rosemary, not this fall, but the preceding fall, and it did great through the summer, and it's doing great in the winter. Right before Christmas, since we had no snow yet, I was able to cut some twigs for my Christmas roast, and it was great. But now it's totally covered with snow. My question is, so if when the snow melts off, is the rosemary that's on there still usable or is it going to have to be cut to the ground?
No, the snow protects it.
Okay.
Because rosemaries, depending on the cultivar variety, they're only hardy down to about 15 degrees normally. There are some that will go down to about 5. And so there's one variety called ARP, it's ARP, and another one called Madeline Hill. And those are the two that we usually grow outdoors here because they will tolerate or colder temperatures, but they still need to be in a fairly protected area. And so there are many others that are not named cultivars that you don't know, but generally the bigger the leaf and the waxier the leaf, the better they do during our winters. And so the rosemary you have with the snow blanket on it is actually, if we dipped down below 5 degrees, that snow would protect it and get it through the winter because snow is always at 32 degrees and it just acts as an insulating blanket for it. And so in the spring, in late March or April, depending on the weather, it will bloom for about 6 weeks and then it'll be done, but it's perfectly usable.
So in the spring, I'm not going to cut it back. I'm going to wait. Am I going to cut it back ever?
Well, if it's starting to get out of hand,
okay,
you can
use
renewal pruning to just take branches here and there to reduce its size. But my mother-in-law or my wife's grandma, I think it's still there, has had one for 20 or 25 years on the south side of her home up against bricks, and it'll get 5-6 feet tall.
Oh.
And they just go and mow it in half every year, and it seems to do just fine.
I just want a little bit of rosemary, and it smells so good.
It does.
It's in a protected area in the courtyard, but yeah, I didn't know really how to take care of it once it started to develop.
Yeah, down where I live in Santaquin, we're 5 to 10 degrees colder than a lot of areas, especially the bench areas along the Wasatch Front. My neighbor had a rosemary for 4 or 5 years, And last winter, when we dipped down to zero in the Santaquin area, I think it took it out. And so they, even if it does only live 3 or 4 years, if you can get it in a fairly protected area, they're totally worth growing.
They grow like crazy down in the St. George area. They become these huge bushes, and you don't even realize that they're rosemary.
Yeah, and there's so many fun forms. There's ground cover forms that you will see. They bloom all winter with the pink flowers, and then there's the upright forms that are also, you know, the bush forms that are really fun.
But remind us again, the ones that grow along the Wasatch Front in protected areas.
Yeah, ARP and Madeline Hill are the two that you can find in Commerce.
But it's only going to live about 4 years?
No, if it's in a protected spot, especially in the bench areas, they can live for years and years. And they're fairly easy to take cuttings from and root more out. When I was up in Logan, I'd get cuttings from my wife's grandma's plant, and we would root them out in a gel greenhouse, and then during their plant sale to raise money for horticulture programs and things, we would sell the cuttings in May and June. They would be rooted. They'd only be a couple inches tall, but they were fairly easy to root.
Okay. When you go to the grocery store and you buy those little herb packets in the produce department, they are so expensive. Like, it's $4 for a little thing of rosemary. So to me, when I, you know, since I cook a lot, I want to just have it just right where I can get to.
Yes.
And it's not perfectly usable for it, right?
But I will say, as the branches get older, they do get a little bit more woody.
Which is why you want to do that renewal pruning.
Yeah, and so the renewal pruning will keep them fresh. And so the growth that's usually under a year old is what's usually harvested, but they don't lose their scent or develop a bitter flavor or
anything.
Which
is why mine's doing so great.
Yeah.
It's only a year old. Okay. Next listener would like to know, they're wondering where the best places to get lantana seeds and when they should plant them.
I have never started lantana from seed. It's always been from cuttings. And so I will order starts, but it's usually you have to buy 25 or 50 of them.
Oh, that's a lot.
And so it's a little difficult. And so when I purchase lantanas, I usually will just go to the garden centers and get the 4-inch pots. 4 or 5 inch pots, and they're $4 or $5 a piece. They're not inexpensive compared to many other flowers, but they're worth growing because they grow quickly.
Remind
especially
us what
in
lantana
hot area.
Is.
So lantana is a bush grown in as far north as Vegas. There's a couple different species, but when you get into San Diego, Los Angeles, they bloom all summer with pink flowers, yellow flowers, shades of lavender, purple, just very beautiful shrubs. They've actually, in some areas like Florida, have become invasive. But they are only hardy in central Florida south. And in there's a species, it's Lantana camara, I believe. It's a yellow flowering shrub that's more hardy down to 15 or 20 degrees. And you'll sometimes see it in St. George. But Lantana camara is a yellow flowering bush. It's sometimes grown as a ground cover in the medians in Las Vegas, along with rosemary. But they're two warm subtropical to tropical plants native to Brazil. But
so
they,
you have to plant them as an annual.
Yeah,
then.
We use them as an annual here. Okay. And 1 year I planted them interspersed among my perennial hibiscus, and when they were both in, you know, big in August and September, it was a very beautiful mix.
Wow. Okay. Good to know as I'm planning what I'm going to plant this spring. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can text us at 57500.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. The phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I was just showing Ton over the break all the pictures of flowers that I took in St. George in October that I meant to post to the Greenhouse page and didn't. So thanks for informing me on all these different types of flowers, Ton. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. Vicki is on the line right now. Good morning, Vicki. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I was given an orchid in August, and it's done really well, but the flowers are dying back now, and one of the stems is also dying back, which I know is normal. I'm just wondering what I do from now to take care of it, and it got knocked over and lost a good bit of its soil, so I'm wondering if it's okay for me to repot it.
I would repot. Yeah, I'd repot it and just get some orchid mix from a local garden center. And I, even if this, you repot orchids every 2 or 3 years. And so it's probably, as long as the roots aren't broken, I'll bet you it will be okay.
Yeah, it's just the soil fell out. Nothing really got damaged or anything.
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry too much.
So do I clip back the stems now that the flowers are falling off?
That's absolutely fine.
Do I clip
back? Clip back the stems.
Down to the close to the roots, or just
if you still have leaves on there, don't clip those back, but just the flower stems.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Vicki, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have a flower bed in front of their front porch. It's like a 2.5 by 10 foot on the west side. They want something flowering that only gets about 2 feet high. What would you suggest?
Flowering, and it says a lot of sun, 2 feet high.
West side, so yes.
West side. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So.
Makes it more difficult.
Yeah, there are several things that would actually do. And there's not a lot of things that bloom all summer that are perennial. But one of my favorites in those situations are the hummingbird mints.
Oh.
Very beautiful. They bloom from July to frost, and you can get them in pinks and yellows and oranges and reds. So that's one. There are a number of the tick seeds or coreopsis that would work in that situation. They don't want to overwater them because they can get bigger, but watered correctly, they'll stay in that size. Then some of the black-eyed Susans, the smaller black-eyed Susans would bloom from August to frost. So there's a number of things. Daylilies, you know, Stella daylily will bloom more in the spring. But if you planted Stella daylily and got some late May through July blooms from it, whirling butterfly would be one, but it might be a little big. But the hummingbird mint would take over, and then you could have other things, you know, so you stagger your blooms the whole season.
Next listener says they planted 6 rose bushes last year. They did well, however, they did not drop their leaves. Is that normal for roses?
It's fine.
Mine still have all theirs, and they're like
buried
in snow.
Wait until mid-March to prune them, and just prune them back to two or three main canes between about shin to knee height, depending on the age and size of the rose.
Do they just hang on to it? Is it like a protective thing? Because most things just kind of drop their leaves.
Roses want to be evergreen. And in cities like Portland, Seattle, California, they just keep going and bloom all winter. They actually bloom more profusely in cooler weather than they do during the summer. You know, and so in Utah, they are hardy, but it's almost like they're angry at us because they have to go dormant, and they're among the last plants to go dormant. And so they're perfectly fine.
Yeah. I've noticed that in the spring seasons, when it's a little bit cooler, they're profuse with roses. Then in the fall, they seem to come back and have more, but in the middle of the summer, they're not so happy.
Yeah. They,
I mean, the bush looks fine. The rose bush looks fine, but they aren't flowering.
Yeah,
like
when
they
you
are
above 90 degrees, the flowering slows down.
Can you blame them?
No, you can't blame them. If you keep them pruned, so as soon as you deadhead the old flowers, they will flower in the summer, but their maximum amount of flowers are in early summer and then through fall when it's cooler.
It used to be the traditional thing is in a beautiful landscape, you would always have a formal rose bed. And I'm kind of sad that we've kind of gone away from that.
Yeah, there are still some rose gardens around. But I think that it was just part of, you know, the term the gentleman gardener, or somebody that really took pride in their yard, and you would have formal beds for your roses, and there would be other flowers that you would do this with, the daylilies and the iris, and you would know every variety, and you're out there and fuss with them every few days and things. But yeah, it's just something we've gotten away from.
I mean, you'd walk off out of the double doors of the patio, and there'd be this huge rose garden. It would just be like it was almost like they separated the flowers. Like, this is where the roses go, and
yes,
we kind of mix everything together.
We do. My great aunt, I've mentioned a few times, had a couple of acres, but I had a huge garden, but more than half of it was filled with rose flowers, and she had peonies out there. She had her iris. She had the tulips and roses, and they all had their own row mixed amongst the vegetables.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. But I have to admit, I'm one of those people who've started mixing everything together just due to space.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, right? We have smaller yards now than
we
they
do.
Used to have.
It's, in fact, 10 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about gardening artistically in small spaces.
I just love that topic. Next listener says they want a shrub or tree that they can use kind of as a privacy screen. This is at the 5,800 foot elevation.
I wish I knew what area of Utah, because the Great Salt Lake and Utah Lake protect the Wasatch Front. And so 5,800 feet in the cities along the Wasatch Front is different than 5,800 feet in the Cache Valley or over toward like Manti and areas like that. But I would plant zone 4 to 5 shrubs. And so there's lots of them that survive those areas just fine. And so we really need more details.
Okay.
So either more details in a text or a call before I'm really willing to say, oh yeah, I'll plant this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm privacy screens. I understand it. I mean, homes are closer to us now, right? We're talking about these smaller yards. So I can see where people really want to provide some sort of privacy that looks good and something that's going to last.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a few shrubs that stay really narrow. They get about 10 to 15 feet tall that will give you a good screen. But, you know, we need more details.
Okay, so text us some more details and Tawn will answer your question, or call us about 9:10, 9:15 when we finish our top of the hour feature. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Number to call 801-575-8255, or you can text us 57500.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.